speak your words of life to us. Open our hearts to respond to you. Amen. I wonder how you're getting on with your Christmas shopping. Good? Not so good? Not really considered starting it yet? I mean, anybody started the shopping? Anybody finished the shopping? Oh, you smug so-and-sos. Anybody planning on leaving it till the 24th and then doing a mad dash? I like people who are honest. And are you pleased with the things that you've chosen for others? Or are you just trying to get the job done because the list is so long, which is my personal approach? Like many people, I do most of my Christmas shopping online. And there are loads of good things about shopping online. You can do it from the comfort of your own home in your pajamas, not so appropriate when you go into Lewisham. You can do it at a time that's convenient when the shops might otherwise be shut. And there are often bargains to be had. And I love a good bargain. Problem is that when you shop online, you don't get a chance to look at things properly. You can't check the quality or the feel. You can't check the size. You just have to trust the description and the pictures and hope that what you're buying will be right. Earlier this week, one of my internet orders was delivered, and when I opened it up, I have to say that I was really disappointed. It just wasn't what I was hoping for. It felt really poor quality. It didn't live up to my hopes, and I was left wondering whether to keep it or whether to send it back. Disappointment isn't just confined to Christmas shopping, of course. There are lots of things that we look forward to or put our hopes in that can end up letting us down. There are people that we look to and put our hopes in who can end up letting us down and causing us disappointment. And of course, there are times in life when we might feel disappointed by God, let down by the very one that we ought to be able to trust. And that theme of disappointment is one of the themes from today's service. We've got a couple of wannabe preachers here, I think. Yeah, there's a real theme of disappointment running through that reading from Matthew. You may or may not know that John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus. He was the warm-up act before the main event. He was called by God to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, the coming Saviour. And John did that by preaching a message of judgment. He was calling people back to God. He was asking them, inviting them to confess their failings and to live differently. And John wasn't afraid to confront people or challenge them. In fact, he even challenged the king at the time, King Herod, and he paid the price for it by ending up in prison. It's no surprise then that John sends a messenger to Jesus to ask him this question. John, at this point in prison, sends the message to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Behind that question, you can hear John's doubt and John's disappointment as well. Jesus wasn't the saviour that John was hoping for or expecting. John had preached, as I said, a message of judgment, and I think he expected Jesus to do just that, to come along and fulfil the words that John had spoken. He imagined that Jesus would confront and challenge and convict, that he might punish those who deserve punishment, that he would overthrow and take charge. That in short, Jesus would start an uprising, a revolution. If Jesus was really God's promised saviour, then how could John possibly be left rotting in jail? And that for me is the nub of John's disappointment. The heart of what John is saying is that Jesus is meant to be the saviour, but he is not saving me. Jesus sends a message back to John. Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. The report back that Jesus sends is that he is saving people. He's saving the most marginalized, the most overlooked, the people who tended to be forgotten about. But it is not at all what John was expecting. This reading is one of the readings that's set for this Sunday in Advent. And it begs the question, why have this reading about doubt and disappointment just 2 weeks before the big day? We're about to celebrate the coming of the Saviour, and here we are questioning whether he's actually the Saviour at all. I think we have this reading because many of us are, or have been, or will be, in the same place as John at some point. We can find ourselves saying, Jesus, you're meant to be the Saviour, but you're not saving me. We place our hopes in Jesus, only to find ourselves disappointed by God. The response that Jesus gives to John is both an affirmation and a challenge as well. He reports back all that he's doing. He's saying, yes, the Saviour is saving people. He is God's promised Messiah. But the challenge is this. Will you trust him to do things his way? Rather than start a revolution, it's more like the slow evolution of transformation, of freedom and hope and healing. Will you trust God to do things his way and his time? Will you trust that he won't ultimately let you down? And I think this reading from Matthew is for us today because it gives us the same affirmation and challenge, just as it was to John. Jesus may not do what we expect or hope that God or a Messiah should do, but this reading is saying he is the Saviour. He is God's chosen one, God's promised Saviour, and he's still saving people today, transforming their lives, bringing hope and healing and help into the most challenging situations. He won't ultimately let us down. But the challenge comes, will you trust him? Will you trust him even when God does things differently from the way that we might do it? Will you trust him? And that very simply is my challenge this morning to us. Will you trust him? Amen.